Seminar, Agelessness. Lecture 4, My Universe is My Playground. My universe is my playground. How about that? How many of you have a universe for a playground? How many of you live in... Ellen's raising her hand right away. How many of you live in the allness and the isness and have just a great old time? Now, my mother always taught me that if I will read the instructions and follow the rules, that it'll be a lot easier to do whatever I'm doing. If I buy a puzzle, I should read the instructions first. If I buy a little gadget, you know, like a bicycle, read the instructions on how to put it together, A, B, C, and stuff like that. And children's toys, you have to read the instructions. But fathers know best. Fathers know that you just take the gadget and do what is logical. And if you have leftover parts, well, c'est la vie, you know, or c'est la guerre. And so that's the reference that we're giving here. Parents always tell children, read the instructions, follow the rules, live an honorable life, and you'll be a happy person. And the first thing that the father does is not to read the instructions and try to put together the child's toy. And he puts it together in a kiddy-wampus way, and it doesn't work. And the child is looking, but Dad, that's not how, Dad. Don't do that, Dad. And Dad just goes right ahead and does it. He says, I know what I'm doing. I'm older than you are. You know, I know what I'm doing. And so, well, this is something that takes more than a genius to put together. That's all that's to it. And so he puts it down and goes away. And the child, who has not read the instructions, but who doesn't think he knows it all, he takes it apart. And he looks at all the pieces. And he says, which pieces go to which places? And he lays them out in sort of a pattern for himself. And then he puts them together. And in perfect order, it works beautiful. Now, he didn't read the instructions either. But he used his intelligence to put it together. Children have an amazing amount of intelligence because the child, before he begins the project, he says, I can do that. I know that I know that I know God in me is the answer. And I know how to do it. Now, he doesn't say that. That's lovely if he did. He says, I can do that. I can do that. Dad had a problem with it, but I can do it. And he doesn't say, I'm going to show my dad that I can do it. I'm going to show my dad I'm better than he is. He does not want to be better than his dad. You understand that? He does not want to be better, but he wants his toy, and he wants to be able to play with it. And so when Dad comes by later and says, who put that together? I don't know. I don't know. The kid doesn't need the credit. You understand? Dad needs the credit, but the kid doesn't need the credit. I don't know. I just came back in here and it's all set. You know, nice. Thank you, Dad. You're welcome. And he takes credit for things that he didn't do. But you see, all of this is bad news for children. It teaches children to lie. It teaches children to prevaricate. It teaches children to say things that is not so. It teaches children to mistrust their adults and mistrust the information they get from them. And that's tough. That's tough. Now, how do we begin to show ourselves how we can live a happy life, and how can we start using the universe as our playground? Well, we say these comments here. I sculpture all in my universe. I create all. Being all, I stretch my imagination for the most surprising aspect of me. Ideas are my toys, and I use them excitedly. Now, this is not what we are taught by our parents. Not what we're taught by our teachers. The teacher says, I will show you how. And the teacher is a little unsure. And so that insecurity comes right through to the child. And so the child watches as the teacher struggles along to do it. And then when the teacher leaves, the child zip, puts it together and doesn't say a thing. You see, this is a very tough road to live. For a child who knows within him that all knowledge is there, and all wisdom is there, and all genius is there, and then to have to work with adults who don't believe that that's the case, who believe you follow the instructions, who believe that you have to read all the details and know what's going on to accomplish anything. And you see, that's tough. That's really tough. Now, we are over 10 years old, each of us, and so we are going to learn how to sculpture all of my universe. Now, a sculptor is a person who works with stone or clay or any other type of a substance and molds it into a figure or something that he wants, usually a figure. And so, as he's molding this into a figure, he is pushing this part here and that part there and this part here, but he usually works in an abundance first. He has a fat figure first, so that he can eke it down to the figure that he wants. And when anyone looks at the child's figure at first, they say, "Oh my goodness, that doesn't look like anything." Well, that's only because the child hasn't had a chance to play the game completely. And I will tell you, a child plays the game up to the level of their interest and up to the level of their attention span. And when the attention span is over, they stop the game. Now, that doesn't mean they don't go back. In school, when we were in grade school, we worked with clay. And our teacher knew we had attention spans that were of a unpredictable limit. And so she always had a bucket of water and rags close at hand. And so as we were sculpting our ashtrays or our people or what dogs, oh, the interesting dogs we made, and the other things that we did, she would always have this bucket of water and the wet cloths to be wrapped around our clay, because we didn't always finish it in one day, or we didn't always finish it in 5 minutes that we were working on, and then we lost interest in them. And so we'd put the cloth around it. And then we made things with paper mache, too. Remember paper mache? That's this newspaper all ripped up and made into squishy stuff. I think you put paste in it, too. But anyhow, paper mache. And so we would make these things. And they were the gosh-awfulest looking things you could ever imagine on the first day. Now, the second day, the teacher would say, "Okay, you've got 10 minutes to play with your clay," and then we put it away, because she knew our attention span was limited, and she did not push us beyond our attention span. So quickly we uncovered our gadget, and we went to work on it, and we did this here, and then she says, "Now, today I'm going to give you sticks to use. Now, you use these sticks however you want." You know how clay molding sticks are? They're sort of rounded, and you push them around. So we each took the sticks, and some jammed them right through their clay and shoved it in where the eyes were and out the back of the head, stuff like that. And that's okay. That's not anger. That's not anything. It's just experimentation. It's just being creative, you know. Eyes on the front and the back of your head, like Mama always says, you know. And so you fill those in the back of the head after a while. You put hair down there and so forth. But you begin to do it. And then time's up. Cover up your thing. "But we just got started." Cover it up. You see, the interest is growing. And then you cover them up. And then the next day, you start again for a few minutes. And in starting for a few minutes the next day, what happens? You do the same thing for 10 minutes. And this goes on until maybe by the end of the week, you're up to 15 minutes. And it is kind of exciting. It's kind of exciting to see the things that are being created and coming out of the work that is being done. So we are all sculptors. And if we learn to sculpture because we believe in ourselves, not because the teacher shows us how. The teacher will show us techniques, but then we can apply those techniques if we wish. But the teacher doesn't come over and say, now, you do this, you do this. She doesn't touch our piece. Why doesn't the teacher touch our piece of sculpture? The teacher wants us to know and believe that that is our work. We did it from beginning to end. It is our piece of work. And the teacher is proud of our piece of work, and we are to be proud of our piece of work. And when we are, then we do great things. But many teachers, and I have been in many classes where these teachers are so skillful, they come over and they take their little stick. They always have their little stick with them. And they go tick, 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 and tick, 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 tick. And there comes a beautiful hair and a lovely nose comes out of it and eyes and so on. And you say, oh, hey, that is cool. But that wasn't what the kid had in mind. The kid had in mind, you know, a gargantuan monster face, not something so beautiful and well designed. But the teacher takes away from the child his own creative talent and his own creative ability. The teacher should show on her piece how you use the sticks and how you, and let the kid gouge up and mess up on his own. And those kids who have talent and skill and want to do it, they will do it. And those kids who don't, they won't. And that's perfectly okay. No one's expected everyone to be a sculptor. So, some are painters. And boy, do they paint. So, I sculpture all in my universe. As you sculpt all in your universe, you are doing it with whatever technique you have been trained. If the teacher says, now watch, I love you. Now watch the nose go. I love you, nose. Oh, you're so beautiful. On her piece, you know. And then you each look at her. You're kind of silly. And then, now come on, try it. And so then, I love you. Hey, it works. I love you. And the technique works. But the child has to do it themselves. You are children. You have to do it yourself. You have to say, I like me. Thank you.
I am divine order.
Beautiful. I like me. I'm divine order. I am peace. You see, when we do that, now, Dorothea, do you think that you know how to be a poet, an artist, an opera singer? I like me. I'm in divine order. I am peace. Yes, Dorothea, not no. Not no. You can do it in your stupid way if you wish, or your nice way if you wish. You can do it however you wish, but never say no to me. Just always say, yes, Herb, I like me. I'm in divine order. I'm peace, you know, and say it however you like. But you have the ability within you to put magic into your words, to put magic into your ideas, to put magic into your soul, or out of your soul. You have the ability to do that, and you want to do that. And so you say to Lydia here, you say, Lydia, this is a statement that we use here. Now, Lydia knows it as well as you do, but you don't know that she knows it. And so you say, Lydia, here on campus we say, I like me. I'm in divine order. All is peace. I am peace. And Lydia says, oh, that's so beautiful, Dorothea. You say that so nice. Can I say it too? And you say, well, of course. And so Lydia says, I like me. I am divine order. I am peace. And you say, Lydia, that was beautiful. And you see, you have magic in you. Lydia has magic in you. Sylvia has magic in you. But Sylvia doesn't let the magic out. I say, Sylvia, pretend that you're Maria Callas. Okay? How would she do it? Sylvia, come.
She would do it.
See, I laugh. Ha, ha, ha. I'm going to laugh until I finally get an idea. Then I'm going to figure out a way to say it. Yeah, okay? Come on, Maria Callas. Maria, you will not be hired back for the next season.
Oh, that's what my intention was.
You've succeeded. I like me. I like me, I like me, I like me. All is in divine order, all is in divine order, all is in divine order, all is in divine order. All is in divine order, all is in divine order. All is in divine order, for I am peace, 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 peace. Peace, 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 peace. I am 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 peace. Now you see, it's with your heart that you're singing. Your voice will be loud enough when your heart sings. But I am peace. I am divine order. I am love, I like myself. And you see, you speak in such tiny words, and what you're saying to the world is, you don't like yourself. You don't think all is in divine order. You don't think you're divine order. You don't think you're peace. You're hiding from it. Now, let it out. Let it out. We have had many mice here on campus, and we have pricked their rear ends with pins, and they, I like me, I am divine order, I am peace. And they let go. But the thing is, that's what you want to do. Gertrude, you sing that. You want to stand, Gertrude? You want to stand and get your best vocal ease out here? Let it go.
I like me, I like me, I am in divine order, I am in divine order.
Now, I am in divine order is okay, but we say, I am divine order.
I am
divine order. That's a good. It's better than a kick in the head, you know. So, very good. Very good. Now, I think you could have done better because I know how you sing. With a little more, I am peace, I am peace, I am peace. A little more vibrato in there. Try it once. I am peace.
I am peace. I am peace. I am peace.
Wonderful. You see what you can do? Now, do it again and put your arms up as though you're really reaching out and blessing the world. Or like the Pope, you know, put the hands down. Come.
I am peace, I am peace, I am peace, I am peace.
Excellent, excellent. Now, Ellen, do this trio and let's see what you... Oh, she's going to stand for this one, and she's going to give it her very best. Oh, get back further so her voice doesn't ground us. All right, madame. Now, you are, what are we saying, my universe is my playground, and I sculpt all of my universe. I create all. Being all, I stretch my imagination for the most surprising aspect of me. Okay, let's have the most surprising aspect of you. Very nice. Now, did you notice your range? Did you notice your range?
Yes.
You had quite a range there. You had quite a range for your voice and in your depth and your highs. Now, your highs were not as smooth as your depth, but your highs were not as smooth as your depth only because you pushed instead of let it flow.
Yeah.
Now, that's great. You're just fantastic. I'm going to expect more out of you. Dorothea.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Yes, that's okay. God can help you. You're God. Now, sing it with all your heart and soul and being as to really rock our boat.
I am God. No, I like you.
No, no. I am God.
Okay.
I am divine order. I am peace.
I like me. I like me. I like me. I am divine order. I am divine order. I am peace. I am peace. I am peace. Enough?
Was that enough for you?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, and what did I say to Gertrude about I am what? Divine order?
She said,
I am
divine order.
Yeah.
What about it?
Yeah, what about it?
I am divine order. I am divine order. I am divine order.
Beautiful. Now, Ingeborga?
Oh, how do you know?
Now, let's have it from you as though the roof is going to leap off.
I like me, I like me, I like me, I am in divine order.
I am divine order.
I am in divine order. I am peace, I am peace, I am peace.
Now, Sylvia, with all of this stuff going on here, do you think you can improve on that?
Certainly not improve, but give my best.
Okay, give your best. You would fit very well in a monastery as a chant for the monks. Very good. Very good. Now, Lydia, did you want to improve on that?
I will do my best.
Oh, great. I'm ready.
Good.
And loud and clear all the way here. Very good. Now, Gertrude, did you want to do it again or not? It's up to you.
No, I have enough.
You're in peace, huh?
I am.
Or you are peace.
I am peace.
Ellen, you're peace?
Yes.
And
yes.
Dorothea, you're peace?
Ich auch,
yes. Ich auch, yeah. Ingeborg, are you peace?
Yes, I am peace.
Okay. Now, we sculpt our world by our thoughts, by our words, and by our actions. Now, what have you been doing? Each one of you have been looking out from underneath your shells, and you have this shell that protects you in case somebody wants to come back and say, you were terrible, or you were bad, or you were, you know, not so good, and you don't need the shell. The minute you take that shell off, you know what's going to happen? The whole world is going to say, wow, I didn't know you were hiding under there. You know, I didn't have any idea. I was walking in on the path this morning, and as I walked along the path, the sand on the path was a little bit, soft. It was soft and ripply. And then at one place, I saw a line from one side of the road to the other side of the road, straight across the road. And I thought to myself, that insect, whatever it was, that went that direction, straightening out all those little mountains as it went along, to make that straight valley path all the way from one side of the road to another, must have really wanted to get to the other side of the road. And how interesting, because it couldn't have been any higher than the little mountains all around it, you know, the little sand mountains, which were a quarter of an inch. But it made a little path all the way across the road, and I thought, what a beautiful expression of love and of diligence and perseverance to accomplish what it wanted to accomplish. Now, if it had asked me to put it on the other side, I'd have been happy to do it. But it didn't ask me. It wanted to do it itself, because that was part of its growing up nature. And probably, as it drug itself across the road, the cocoon in which it lived, or the sack in which it lived, was perhaps being pulled off of its body, releasing its wings. And by the time it got to the other side of the road, that little shell that was covering its wings was gone, and it was ready to fly away. Now, if I had helped it across, I wouldn't have given it the opportunity to release that shell that covered its wings, which is part of nature's growing experiences. We do that so often. We think we're going to make life easy for our children by giving them the answers, by helping them learn how to cheat, by helping them learn how to do things in an improper way. Now, I say, as we look at our universe as a playground, it's an opportunity for us to do all the things that we want to do, to play all the games that we want to play, and to have all the fun that we want to have. But if we are going to go around in life and not take advantage of all of the wonderful things that are available for us to do, we are missing out on so many wonderful adventures. And of course, this is part of the fourth point of our lecture here. Ideas are toys, and I use them excitedly. What sort of ideas have you been having recently? What sort of ideas have you been living with in your life? Have you been living with the idea that it would be nice to levitate, to teleport, to manifest, to do all these fun things? Now, they're all lies, you know. They're all absolute lies until you do them. If somebody else can do them and you can't, they're a lie. You understand? Because until you do it, it doesn't mean a thing. Now, how are you going to, let's just say, teleport? You want to move your body from one place to another, and you want to have experiences. You want to go back to Switzerland and put the food out for your dog or your cat, and then come back here, you know, and maybe that's just during the pause. And so you're there for 15 minutes, and you're watering the plants and taking care of the pups and stuff like that, and then you're back here again. So then you say, oh my, I see a few things that need to be done here. Well, I'll get them after the next lesson and the next pause. And so you go back after the next pause and you take care of those little things, and then you come back. And you say, oh, that's great. But Lydia doesn't think that way. Lydia thinks, hey, I know all and I see all and I know exactly what I want to do, so I am going to speak my word and it is done. The cat and dog are fed. The plants are watered, blah, 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 you know. And so this is her choice, you understand? Now, why didn't Gertrude do that? Because Gertrude wanted to be there. Gertrude thought teleportation was kind of a fun thing to do. And she hadn't thought about the being there. She hadn't thought about the speaking her word in that respect for it. She just thought, speaking her word, I am there. Now, is this such a far-out thing? Is it such a strange thing? You do it, you know. You do it in your sleep. You do it in your dreams. You do it in your daydreams. Oftentimes you're walking around and you're saying, I like me, I am divine order, I am peace, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace, I like me, I'm divine order and peace. And a part of your mind is doing something entirely different. You know that. Not only one thing, but perhaps several things. And maybe you are thinking to yourself, did I hang that dress up or did I leave it on the bed when I left, you know? Did I lock the front door, or did I open the front door so that anyone can come in who wants to? Did I do this or did I do that? And mentally, and you're right with that front door. You're right with that bed on that dress. You are that dress on that bed. You're right with whatever experience you have in your consciousness. And you are doing it. And you're meanwhile, you're saying, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. Or you say, I think we're going to have an interesting supper tonight. We're going to have lamb for lunch. We're going to have lamb chops. And, ooh, I could just taste that. I could just smell that. It's so good. And Sylvia's working on that. And she's a master at that. And so it's going to be a super dinner. And I'm just ready for this with all my heart and soul. And you're thinking these things, you know. And that's a very dedicated thinking. But then another part of your mind goes back to the time that you and your husband, or you and your boyfriend, or you and your friends went out to eat, and you went to this restaurant, and they had lamb, and you ordered lamb, and that lamb was so succulent, so great. It was lamb chops, and it was leg of lamb. It was a whole ball of wax, and it came out, and it had this beautiful cover on the tray, and the chef or the waiter took the cover off, and whoosh, that flavor and that smell bumped up your noses, and you thought, what? And this is why you're thinking about Sylvia making the dinner. And you're thinking, oh, and then not only are you there back at that restaurant looking at that lamb, you are reaching in and taking a piece. You are taking a piece. And so then here you are now back on campus mentally, and you have this piece of lamb in your hand, and you think, my goodness, where did that come from? And you know where it came from, because you were just there. And so you say, I wonder. And so you take a bite of it, and it is just as good as you expected it to be. And you ate the whole thing. And you thought, gee, I should have saved it to show the rest of the group what I just did. But it's for you. It's for you. Now, you can show it if you want, but nobody's going to enjoy it as much as you are. But continue doing this. Continue doing this. And as you continue doing this, if you choose, Lydia can go back to her husband and say, sweetheart, I have a surprise for you. And he says, Lydia, you're a surprise for me no matter what you do. And Lydia says, but I'm serious. I'm serious, Werner. Come on, take my hand. And Werner says, I'll do that any day. And so, zip! There they are, both on campus, Werner and Lydia. And Werner says, how'd we get here? How'd we get, what is this? This is the campus, Werner. This is the campus, Vernie, you know. This is the campus. And he says, my God, it's a lovely place. And then you show him all around, and he says, hey, this is cool. And Werner, you want to stay for supper? I'm sure there's room for one more. And he says, okay. And so you bring him in for supper. Now, he is not an illusion. He is real, because you are real doing these things. And everybody says, Lydia, where'd you find this man? You're quite a creative lady. And Lydia says, this is my husband. Sure it is. That's for sure. This is Werner. Werner, say hello to everybody. Hello, everybody. And Werner, tell what just happened. Werner says, nobody's going to believe me. Well, go ahead, try it. So Werner says, my wife came over, and she says, Werner, I want you to come with me. And I went with her, and here I am. That was just a few minutes ago, you know. Oh, Lydia, I left the water running in the bathtub. Lydia, you took me so by surprise, I forgot to shut the water off in the bathtub. And Lydia says, well, Werner, you forgot to get dressed, too. You're naked. And Werner says, I'm not as concerned about that as the water in the bathtub. And so Lydia says, well, sweetheart, we've had our great experience here, so you're home. Aren't you coming, too? No. You're home. And so Werner is standing there next to the bathtub, naked as a jaybird, and he looks at the bathtub, it's about half full, and he says, I swear I was just with my wife on campus, and that we were talking to the group there, and I was standing there naked, not thinking a thing about it, and I swear that took place, you know. And then Lydia, when she goes home later, or on her next telephone call, he says to her, Lydia, I want to tell you a silly thing, and don't laugh, you know. And so he tells her, and she says, well, it's true. It's true. But you see, it doesn't take anything more than making the universe your playground and making these ideas your toys and using them excitedly. These ideas of teleportation, these ideas of levitation, these ideas of anything like this are just toys. Now, you do it with everything else. Gertrude is living in 1985, and I say, Gertrude, drive the car. Oh, I can't drive a car. And then I say, now it's 2005. I say, Gertrude, will you bring the car around? Sure. I thought you just said you couldn't drive the car. Well, that was when I was in 1985. Now I can drive. But you see, the difference, the time span between 1985 and 2005 are nothing, absolutely nothing. It's just an instant. It's not even the instant. It is being there. Now, could you visualize that, Gertrude? Could you visualize yourself not driving and then visualize yourself driving? You know, just like that. But you see, these are the toys of your mind. Ideas are the toys of your mind to do anything that you want to do. Now, children do that easily. There are many tales of children doing wonderful things. Children, however, do many more wonderful things than are written down, because most people will not believe what they see or hear or know a child does. Like one of the children walked across the flowers in the backyard. And this was written by some horticultural scientist who is well-renowned and well-respected. And many other stories are told of the same type of thing, but they're not given too much credence because it's unreasonable. It's unreal. Now, we had Abramo with us in Egypt in the Great Pyramid. And I was giving seminars in the Great Pyramid, and we were touring the pyramid and having a lot of fun. Well, Abramo was 3 years old at the time. And as we walked through the pyramid, he would tell us what was on the other side of the wall in the pyramid, which was solid rock. And he said, specifically of one area, he said, this is the garbage dump. I mean, 3 years old saying it's a garbage dump, you know. This is where they put the garbage from the pyramid. Well, we asked somebody about it later, and they said, well, there probably was areas where they pushed off the junk, and rather than taking it out of the pyramid, they just put it in a hole inside the pyramid someplace, you know, and then blocked it up and covered it over. And they probably had their lunch bags in there, and probably had the sweepings from the chips of whatever they were doing, and maybe even people that they didn't like, they shoved in there and closed it up. But you see, all of these things, Abramo was able to see that. How could he see that? How could he know that? He was 3 years old. He had never heard of any of these things. He could not have made it up. It had to be something directly from his inner vision that he was aware of. Now, many other things happen too in life where we have an inner vision and we know about things. These are the toys. The ideas are my toys, and I use them excitedly. I like these toys. I enjoy these toys. I think that they're just wonderful. Now, I don't tell you guys half the things I do, because you would just say, ha ha, you know, let me do it too. And I said, go ahead, do it. Do it. But don't tell me you want to do what I'm doing. Jesus said, the things that he does, we shall do also, and greater things than these. And I'm not trying to tell you I'm Jesus, but I am. And you are too. Everybody is Jesus. So, I mean, you know, no hang up there. But so we can do anything Jesus did. That's why he said, Whatever I've done, you can do also, and greater things than these shall you do, because he only did a certain number of things. And, you know, Jesus was kind of a clown. He was a showman. He liked to show off. But then there were times he liked to be quiet. And, you know, they don't tell you about that. They don't tell you that Jesus went off to visit friends. Well, he didn't. He went off to be by himself. And the minute he walked out the door, he disappeared. They didn't know which way he went. He just disappeared. And he went into his own space and was in his own meditation time and his own peace without having all these people clamoring on him for answers or for questions or for what have you, you know. Now, how do I know that? Because I was Jesus and you were Jesus. You know that too. Now, do you ever want to be alone? Do you ever want to be in silence? Do you ever want to be in peace? You're sure you do. And do you ever want to not tell anybody you're going someplace but just disappear for a little while? Just go over to the oasis and lay down in the bed in the oasis and meditate for a while or something, or sleep, or whatever you want to do. Sure. And they're there. Or go over to the citadel. You know, the citadel is empty half the time, and you could go over there. Or go over to the Shangri-La. The Shangri-La is not as comfortable, of course, but c'est la vie. Or we got four retreats out here, you know, that are just waiting for people to come and disappear. And or go off to the cave up here. We got up in the mountain. And I bet none of you have been in that cave for many years. And you'd be surprised what's in there. Yes, you would. But the gurus, they went in their caves. They went in their places of peace and quietness. And this is what we can do too, because that's probably what all of this is all about. It is living in this harmonious way and enjoying the games with the toys that we create for ourselves. Now, what toys have you created for yourself? I know some of them because you've told me, and I know many more of them because you haven't told me. And some of the toys you create for yourself are quite spectacular. Some of you would like to be with your dead friends. Some of you would like to be with your dead relatives. Some of you would like to be with your people that you hadn't seen for a long, long time, and they don't care about you, and they don't even remember you. And I can tell you one thing. You can create yourself visiting with your dead relatives if you want, and your dead relatives will be whatever you create them to be. But in actuality, they have moved on to another dimension of expression, and they don't even know you exist. They don't even know that you have any relationship to them, never did, because they're off on a new venture. Can you imagine if every dead person had a relationship with every live person? What a confusing circumstance this would be. What a very interesting, confusing world this would be. But this is what people say they want. This is what people say that should be. And, of course, it should not be. But if you want that, that just shows that you're not yet ready to grow up and reach out to the next level of consciousness that you are ready to reach out to and enjoy. Now, what is the next level of consciousness going to do for you? You're going to have fun. You're going to be yourself. You're going to be illumined. Say, right now, you're preparing yourself to graduate into the next dimension. Whether you graduate today, tomorrow, or 100 years from now, it doesn't matter. You understand? But you're ready to graduate. Now, what sort of preparation are you giving yourself to graduate? Are you preparing yourself to be a levitator? A teleporter? You know, a manifester? Are you creating yourself to be a master of all these gifts? Are you creating yourself to have the perfect mental consciousness? Now, do children have the perfect mental consciousness? If I say to children, all right, if you could have anything you want, what would you like to have? They don't have to think very long. They know. The little girls, what would they say? I'd like a doll. Boys, oh, I'd like a teddy bear, or I'd like a truck, or I'd like this or that. They're not worried about big, beautiful things. Now, if you say to Herb Barley, if you could have anything in the world that you would like, any wish that you want, what would you like? And what would I say? I have all the wishes I could ever want. You know, why limit myself with the one? You know, I have all the wishes I could want. And that way I don't have to think about it. As the desires come along, I just wish them and they're done. But now, is that true? And yes, it's true. And is that something that you're doing? Yes, it's something you're doing. Is it something you want to do? Yes, it is something you want to do. When are you going to start doing it? When are you going to start believing in yourself? When are you going to start believing in yourself enough to hang in there to demonstrate that particular desire of your heart? That particular goal of your heart? It's your choice. And it's a wonderful choice. But you cannot have it. No way you can have it unless you put that cause in motion for yourself. And when you put that cause in motion for yourself, the beautiful things happen for you. It is yours 100%. And it can be yours right now. Now, how are you going to handle it when you get it? How are you going to handle it when you get it, when you are able to speak your word and have everything you want? That was my next statement. There is nothing to want because you have everything. You see, there is nothing that you want to have because you already are all. And if you say, well, I'd like to have a healthy body, you have it. I'd like to have all the money in the world, you have it. I'd like to have all the genius that I can have possibly, you have it. You see, you have everything. All you have to do is claim it. And it's not a matter of waiting for another dimension. It's not a matter of a miracle happening. It's just a matter of doing it. Mm-hmm. One woman guru in Africa, she was driving along with her students, and she was going across the desert, and she ran out of gas. And she says, okay, boys, go and fill her up. And so they all went to the gas tank and pissed in the gas tank and filled it up with whatever they had, and the car drove on to wherever they wanted to go. Now, did she have to do that? No, she could have done it perfectly well without. She didn't have to run out of gas, but she gave them an opportunity to think, my gosh, my urine is powerful. It is the power of gasoline. Wow. Wow, fantastic, you see. And but you see, all teachers teach in gentleness. Because if you teach in greatness, you teach with problems. You remember Yogananda's teacher. One of the students went out and was demonstrating to his friends. These are kids, you know, they're 10, 12 years old. He was demonstrating to his friends. He says, look, I can create an orange tree. And so he creates this orange tree in the front yard of his home. And all the kids look at the orange tree and say, wow, wow. And then they go over and reach for the orange, and there's no orange. And he says, I haven't learned that part yet. Well, his master is walking by. And so his master thought to himself, clown, clown. He snapped his finger, and there were oranges on the tree. But you see, you learn it step by step. You learn it a little by little, but you practice it. You practice. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself and put these things to work and watch the miracles take place. I'm not trying to teach you miracles. I'm just teaching you my universe is my playground. I sculpt all in my universe. I create all. Being all, I stretch my imagination for the most surprising aspect of me. And ideas are my toys, and I use them excitedly. And this is what it's all about, and this is what you are all about. And I tell you, if you will let the universe be your playground and just dream your wildest dream. Have I ever said that before?
Yes.
Dream your wildest dream and just watch it happen. And your dream doesn't have to be that every wish comes true. But the dream is that you are the creator of everything in your life, and you create it with the power of your belief and your mind. And there is no power. It's just the awareness. See, the awareness perhaps is better than the word power, because it already exists. And you already exist. And you are fantastic. So, be prepared for tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, second day of our seminar. My universe is what my thought creates it as for me. And let's see what sort of magic we can come up with on that for tomorrow. Okay, it should be lots of fun.